Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf vav in Makos. Yesterday we got held back a little bit by the Mishnah. The Mishnah brought down the unbelievably interesting halacha regarding Edim Zomimim, that there's a window of opportunity of when they can become Edim Zomimim. And that window of opportunity opens up at the Gemar Din, meaning that before Gemar Din, they will not become Edim Zomimim. It simply means that before Gemar Din, what's going to happen? Two other witnesses are going to come in and say, Imanu Aisim Amal Kamponi, they were with us at the time, and Basim will say, okay, you guys are, we're done. But they're not Edim Zomimim. So it only opens up at Gemar Din, after the Gemar Din, and when does it close? It closes after execution. So that means that after the person's executed, based on the testimony of these witnesses, even though they are conspiring witnesses and they are lying and they created probably one of the most heinous acts that's imaginable, they killed somebody and the guy didn't do anything wrong, but nevertheless, at that point in time, the case is closed and this is no longer a case of Edim Zomimim. Okay, they won't be tried as Edim Zomimim. I quoted the Ramban yesterday. I looked at the Ramban afterwards just to make sure that I was somewhat correct. I was somewhat correct. Right, the Ramban yesterday talks about the Ramban on Chumash in Parshas Kisetze talks about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance, divine assistance, in every legal proceedings, and Beis Din will simply not do that. Won't kill somebody for simply no reason whatsoever. The person that was executed by Beis Din was in fact guilty of something, not this particular crime, but guilty of something, and for whatever the higher order reasons are, this is the way that it was going to be carried out. Okay, take a look at the Ramban over there in Chumash, and you'll see that concept.
If this window exists, what about prior to this window? What's the status of this edim? If two people come and say these were midas,
so prior to the window, so we're just going to throw them out of court.
And the first
original set of witnesses. Ah. That's all.
But, and they won't get any punishment?
And they will not get any corporal punishment. They will of course be disqualified to testify again in a court of law. Their credibility now is totally impugned. So they can't testify again. But
no, but they don't get any the damages that they want, monetary damages that they want
to. Nothing.
Well, then I get a market.
A person being executed become
goyim? Yeah, good question. Right, very good question. Once they're proven, question is the family now. The person who was killed and he was wrongfully killed, right? So does the family members now become a goyim adam? I don't know. Who are you going to go after? Right? The witnesses only caused the death. They didn't actually do the death. So that's causative. That's grama. I can't imagine the witnesses now are considered murderers. In other words, from a very technical standpoint, they didn't do the killing. The executioner, he was told what to do. Right? He was, so to say, osik b'mitzvah. I don't know. It is an interesting question. I do not know. The Gemara now, okay, so first thing we'll do is as follows. First, let's finish up this sugya. We'll move on. The Gemara now is going to be bothered by the illogical nature of this halacha. Meaning, if you put this up against the test of logic, you realize this is not going to pass any logic test. Right? If the Edim Zomimim are going to be killed before the person's executed, right? All they did was just simply conspire. This is what they wanted to do. And if that's what you wanted to do, you wanted to kill this person, we're going to kill you. If they actually carried through with the murder and they actually did kill the person, for sure they should be killed. Right? So it doesn't stand up to the test of logic, and the Gemara is going to make this point. And let's see this inside. We are in the Gemara. We are in the middle of the Amud on Hay, Amud Beis, and we're just one line after the Gemara.
This period of this window is only a couple of hours at most, because as soon as they give the...
I know. I've thought about that also. I've thought about that. It's a very small window of opportunity. The window does open up larger for things like Malkus, for things like money. But for murder, you're right. You're right. It's a very small window of opportunity. I came to the same realization also. Tana Baribi Amar Lo Hargu Naragan Hargu Enaragan Amar Aviv Bini Lav Kavachomer Hu. The father of Baribi says this seems like a Kavachomer. Right? We can make the following logical argument. Amar Lo Limaratin Rabbeinu Sheinon Shemin Adin. Good. I'm happy. I'm happy that it's a logical argument. But halacha does not conform to logic. Now that means the following. Now, kavachomer, we make kavachomers all the time. Right? Halacha is as a result of kavachomer. That happens all the time. We don't punish somebody based on a kavachomer. The only time someone is subject to punishment is if the Torah says punish. Otherwise, there's no punishment that's meted out. Fine. D'tanya, and how do I know this? So we're going to go through things that we've gone through before. Review. Isha sheikach es achoso bas aviva bas imal. A man takes a sister. Sister is one of the arayos, one of the women that one of the ancestral relationships that are forbidden to him. Ainli ela bas aviv shelo bas imo, bas imo shelo bas aviv. The Torah singles out a sister that's a sister through your father, meaning what we would call here in this country a half sister, or she's a sister through your mother. Again, a half sister. Bas imo ubas aviv minayin. What if she's a sister through both parents? Right? Can you imagine? Right? She's a full sister, both sharing the same mother and same father. Tamar lamar ervas achoso gila. Achelo yomar. I'm sorry. Ervas achoso gila. Period. Right? The pasuk then goes and repeats and says, "You revealed your sister's nakedness." So the Torah goes out of its way to say, even if she's your full sister, it's still going to be prohibited to you. Achelo yomar yesh li bedin imana shabas aviv shalom bas imo ubas imo shalom bas aviv ubas imo lo kol shekein. The Gemara says, now doesn't that seem like we can make a very simple kavachomer? It's unbelievably simple. If your half sister is prohibited to you, so your full sister for sure should be prohibited to you. Hali marta shein onshim adin. Okay, good. And so therefore, ein onshim adin. That's exactly the point the Torah is making. That even though it is a solid kavachomer, hard to debate it. Even though it's a solid kavachomer, nevertheless, ain't on shem and adin. You don't punish somebody based on a kavachomer. The Torah has to explicitly state so. Ona shamanu azar minayin tam alamar ervas achoso bas avicho bas imecha ein leli bas aviv shlo bas imo shlo bas aviv u bas imo minayin tam alamar ervas bas eshes avicha moledes avicha achoscha hi. Then the Gemara just goes through the rest of this process. Where does the Torah warn us against such a girl, against one sister, that she's prohibited to you? Remember, we discussed this, I think as recently as yesterday. You can only punish you only if the Torah gives a warning. Where's the Torah's warning? So when it comes to Arayos, you know how it's broken up. It's Parshas Achremos, it's Parshas Kedoshim. Achremos is all the Azharos. Kedoshim is all the punishments. So all we're now doing is we're looking where in Achremos we find the Azhar, the warning not to have relations with one sister. Achelo yomar yesh li min adin. Maim huzer abas imo shel abas aviv. Ubas aviv shel abas imo. Bas aviv abas imo lo kol shekein. Haramata she'ein mazhirin min adin. Even the Azhara, even the warning cannot come through a kavachomer. It only can come about through the Torah explicitly stating that this is prohibited. Chayve Malkios Minayin. How do I know that this concept extends even for Chayve Malkios? Tamalama Rasha Rasha. We learned it through Gzereshava. Chayve Galios Minayin. Asya Rotseach. Rotseach, another Gzereshava. Okay, period. Okay? And so ends the discussion in terms of Ein Onshim and Adin, even though it's illogical that after the execution is carried out, you're going to say now, you were lying the whole time? You witnesses were not telling the truth. You conspired. This is all a fabricated story. We for sure should put you to death. That makes sense. It's logical. But that's not how halacha works. Halacha is not based on logic. Halacha is based on where the Torah says it, where the Torah does not say it. And so therefore, as a result of that, they are not put to death after the gemara, after the din is meted out, after the execution.
Don't we find by Miriam that there was a kind of punishment as a result of
kavachomer? Kavachomer for sure dictates halacha, but in terms of punishment, right? Punishment is not meted with kavachomer. Punishment is only meted out based on the fact that the Torah says to punish. Okay. Continuing. Tanya. Am Rav Yehuda ben Tavai. This next 6-7 lines of the Gemara, fascinating. Am Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, Erev Nechama. I should see the nechama. I should see the comfort of the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. Im lo harak the eight zomim lahotzi meliban shel tzidukim shayu omrim ina edim zomim im neragim ad shiyarag hanidon. Okay, There's a lot. First, let me translate, and then we'll come back to discuss a lot of interesting points over here. There's a lot to discuss on this incident with Rav Yehuda ben Tabbai. He says, "You know what I did? I killed an Eid Zomim, and I did so unlawfully. I killed an Eid Zomim when I did not have the right to kill an Eid Zomim, but I had a good reason to do so, because the Tzedukim say." Remember, the Tzedukim were the group of people who did not believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. They didn't believe in any oral tradition. They were just simply literalists of the Chumash. And they say that the Eid Zomim is only put to death only if the defendant was actually put to death. If he was wrongfully executed, then and only then the Eid Zomim is put to death. We learned that back in the Mishnah from the end of yesterday's daf. I wanted to show the Tzedukim they are dead wrong. So what I did is I killed an Eid Zomim before the defendant was executed. Just to show the Tzedukim you guys are wrong. Now, Rav Yehuda ben Tabbai did something incorrect. Meaning, the halacha that he's saying right now is correct. But what he did is he killed an Eid Zomim even though the other witness was not proven to be an Eid Zomim. Okay, we learned yesterday the halach is that Edom Zomimim are only put to death if both witnesses are proven to be Edom Zomimim. In the case of Rav Yehuda ben Tabbai, only one of the two witnesses was proven to be an Eid Zomim, but just to make his point clear, he killed that one witness who was proven to be an Eid Zomim, Milahotzi Milibam Shel Tzedukim, to show that Tzedukim, you people are not right. Okay, that's wild. Right, the idea that Beis Din can execute even unlawfully, meaning he did not have the right to execute, but to make a point he executed. You remember not that long ago in Sanhedrin, we talked about Beis Din's ability, Beis Din has the right sometimes to put somebody to death, even though they don't have every justification to do so. Even though the process doesn't allow them to do so, they sometimes put people to death. Okay. What also is interesting, although the Gemara is not going to raise this as an issue, what also is interesting is his introduction to a statement. He says, Erev Nechama. Okay, can I ask you an interesting question? When did Rav Yehuda ben Tabbai live? So we're going to see in just a moment. He was contemporaries with Shimon ben Shetach. Okay, we'll see that in just a second. Okay, so that puts him right in the middle of the Second Temple, like smack in the middle of the period of the Second Temple. And he starts off with Erev Nechama. Now, Erev Nechama usually means, right, I can't wait till the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And he says that right in the middle of the Second Temple. So, right, how do you understand that? Right, that's very difficult to process. Right, it seems like the Tanayim during the Second Temple knew that the Second Temple wasn't going to survive, wasn't going to last. You get that impression?
It was at the beginning, because there was some period of time before they built the Second Temple.
Yeah, but Shimon Meshetach, he's one of the Zugos, he's one of the pairs. They all lived during the Second Temple, all of them.
But isn't it possible that Erev Nechama seemed separate things? I would like to be consoled for the thing I did.
It could be. That could be its meaning, right? It could be. Okay, so that's what Rav Yehuda ben Tabbai did. He killed somebody, Shalom and Adin, he killed somebody unlawfully, but to make a point. In comes Sha'amar lo, Shem HaMashach, now says Shem HaMashach to him, you should not have done that. Erev Nechama im lo shafachta dam naki, sha'arei amru chachamim, eina idim zomim ne'eragim ad she'yezumu shneihem. Ve'in lo kim ad she'yezumu shneihem. So Shem HaMashach says to him, you should not have done that. You should not have put that person to death. You wrongfully put somebody to death, even though you did so for a good reason, you did so to make a point. Still, you should not have put somebody to death. Okay, the Shema ben Shetach, by the way, I mean, not that long ago in Sanhedrin, we talked about Shema ben Shetach and his court proceedings. Do you remember that his son, right, he was the one who killed the witches, the 80 witches in Ashkelon. His son was put to death by Edom Zomimim. Right, you remember that? It was a long Rashi, it was in Sanhedrin, it was somewhere in the Mems, right?
Mems. Witches wasn't purposing, it was...
Right, and the witches was not a... Right, the witches themselves were not a fair court proceedings, because he killed all of them in one day. Okay, so if you look at it in its totality, you realize it's a strange dynamic over here. Shimon Meshetach also had some court issues in his own lifetime. Okay, but still, Shema Meshetech says to Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, you should not have done that. Miyad kiba alav Rav Yehuda ben Tavai she'eno mor hara, ela lifnei Shema Meshetech. So at that point forward, Rav Yehuda ben Tavai says, you know what? I will not operate a court without Shema Meshetech. I will always have him by my side. V'chol yamosh Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, ha'i Meshetech, ha'kivr shal oso ha'ed. And from that point forward, he felt terrible. He felt horrible. He would go over to the gravesite of that one person who he killed, right? Who was the Eid Zomim, and he would be mishtateach. He would prostrate himself over the gravesite, and he would beg for forgiveness. V'hayakolo nishma. Now, every day that he went out there to the gravesite, so they heard a voice, and they were unsure. And this is, of course, going to sound strange. They were unsure whose voice it was. Was it the voice of Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, or was it the voice of the person who was dead? Now, for reasons that I don't understand, right? But the observer thought that it was the harug. It was the one who was put to death. It was his voice that was coming. Maybe because the voice didn't sound like Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, but I'm speculating. I do not know. Amar koli shalihu. So Rav Yehuda ben Tavai tells everybody, don't misunderstand, it's my voice, right? Even though you don't think so, I'm telling you it's my voice. And of course it's a little more rational to say that it's the voice of Rav Yehuda ben Tavai. He is the one alive, and pretty much he makes that argument, because I'm telling you that when I die, after the point I die, you're not going to hear the voice anymore. So I'm telling you, it's my voice that you're hearing, not the voice of the dead. Amalei Rav Acha Brei Derava LeRav Ashi. Still, the Amoraim are not convinced. They're not fully convinced that it's Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, even though, this is so bizarre, even though Rav Yehuda ben Tavai is insisting that it's his voice, even though it makes more rational sense to say it's the voice of Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, and he is the one, in fact, living. It's a pretty reasonable argument. Nevertheless, the Amoraim are not convinced. They still want to argue that the voice that's coming out is the voice of the one who was killed. And what about Rav Yehuda ben Tavai's argument? Well, you know, after I die, you're not going to hear the voice anymore. The Amoraim say that's not such a good argument. Why? So Amalei Rav Acha Brei Derava LeRav Ashi Dilma Bedina Kam. Because first of all, it could be that after Rav Yehuda ben Tavai died, he had judgment. He had to meet the ultimate judge. And at that point, the harug, the one who was wrongfully put to death by Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, he was assuaged by the fact now that Rav Yehuda ben Tavai had to stand judgment in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Inami piyus tepaisei. Or, could be that after Rav Yehuda ben Tavai went to the Olam HaEmes, he went to the other side, he then met up with the person and he, I don't know how this works, but he appeased the person up in Shamayim. Okay, and it could still very well be that the voice that was coming out was not the voice of Rav Yehuda ben Tavai, but the voice of the dead.
Rabbi Shimon, yeah. You mentioned yesterday a Ramban that even if a court case came out in an incorrect way, it was meant to be that way.
Correct.
So why all these guilt feelings?
Well, because he didn't know. Because he was wrong in the way he preceded the court. Meaning that if we killed somebody going through the regular court proceeding, following the law correctly, so that's one thing. Over here, Rav Yehuda ben Tavai did not. He killed the Eid Zomim even though he was only one. So he was incorrect in the way he preceded the court, so that's what the guilt is all about. Good, we start the next Mishnah. This Mishnah deals with one question. It's going to have many answers to the one question, but one question. The Torah says in describing Edim, Al Pishnayim Edim O Shlosha Edim. You know somebody's put to death through witnesses. How many? The Torah says two or three. Two or three. Okay, if we know that two witnesses is enough to put somebody to death, certainly three is enough to put somebody to death. Unless you want to tell me ein onshin min hadin, that we don't punish somebody based on logic, and I guess, you know, over here three maybe is only an extension of logic. Maybe you can make that point. But still, though, when all said and done, two works, three for sure should work. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to tell me shnayim o shlosha, two or three? So we're going to have many answers to this one question, and many answers in the Mishnah. Ela lahakish shnayim lishlosha, ma shlosha mazimim es hashnayim, af hashnayim yazimu es hagimel. Okay? First of all, it's to tell us that when you have witness versus witness, or let me say it better, witnesses versus witnesses, numbers no longer matter. Meaning that, right, when you play a game, a 2-on-3 is an unfair game. When you're testifying, a 2-on-3 is fine. Because once you have two or above, that's a kat. That's a group. That's a group of witnesses. At that point in time, numbers no longer matter. So let's say two witnesses come and say, I'm sorry, let's do it the other way. Let's say three witnesses come and say, I don't know what those first two witnesses are talking about. Imanu hayisim b'makom ploni. They were with us at the time. So if two are saying that against three, you may have made the argument, look, that group, the original group's got three. This group's got two. I think I'll go with the three versus the two. The chiddush is no. No. Once you have a kat, a group is a group is a group. Once it's two or above, that's it. We're done. We have now an established group. So that could be two against three, could be two against 100. Right? I'm just taking it to its somewhat unbelievable conclusion. 100 witnesses come and testify. Two more witnesses come afterwards and say, Imanu hayisim b'makom ploni. All 100 of them.
No, not to one of them. What happened to one of them?
Well, then, no.
Because it's a cat. So once you're
in the room. We'll get to that. But I'm just talking about, let's just talk in terms of Adam Zomimim. If two say to the 100, Imanu hayisim b'makom ploni, they were with us at the time, all 100. We were at a chasna last night. It was a big wedding. I can identify all 100 of them. They were with us at the time. All 100 of them are going to be Adam Zomimim. Okay, so that's the first answer. It's an unbelievable answer to the question why the Torah says 2 and 3.
But it still creates a greater onus for the next set of witnesses to discredit all or none.
Correct. We'll get to that also this morning. Okay, and the Mishnah makes the point as clear as possible. It's true even for 100. Even for 100. So in other words, 2 against 100, 2 is going to win out. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mashnaim, okay, another answer to the question. Mashnaim einam ne'eragim achiyu shneim zomimim, avshlosha einam ne'eragim achiyu shlosham zomimim. How many witnesses have to be zomimim in order for the zomimim punishment to be carried out? And the answer is, all of them. By 2, it's got to be both. By 3, it's got to be all 3. And that's the hekesh, the connection of 2 and 3. And it's not just limited to 2. Sorry, it's not just limited to 3. It can go up to 100. Right? And that we learn out from Edom. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo ba'ashlishu lahakel ala lahachmir lav. V'lasos dine kayotze be'elu. V'im kain anash hakosov lenitapel la'ovrei. Ki Ovre Avera. Rabbi Kiva says, you know what the Torah is teaching us? That third guy, we didn't need him, right? Mm-hmm. Two would have been enough.
We should drill him.
Right? We didn't really need that third guy. So maybe he can say to you, the third guy. Now, of course, the question always becomes, who's the third guy? I understand that. But if somehow you can identify who are the two primary witnesses and who's the third, and the third guy can come along and he can say to you, wait a second, wait, stop everything. You didn't need me. So you're not going to kill me now as an eight zomim. I know I did what I did is terrible. I came into court, I lied, I conspired. Right? But when all said and done, the first two is all you needed and you didn't need me. Rabbi Kiva says, still, that's not an argument. If you came and you attached yourself with the original two, so now, congratulations, you're now an Eitz Zomim, and you will be treated like an Eitz Zomim, just like the original two are going to be put to death, you're also going to be put to death as well. What comes out from this? Says Rabbi Akiva, okay, if you attach yourself to an avera and that's a consequence, imagine now, says Rabbi Akiva, it takes a moment, we're going to learn a little Musa this morning. Imagine if you attach yourself to a mitzvah, right? Very often you say to yourself, well, if I didn't come up with the idea, if I'm not the initiator, I'm just a tag along, what would be the point? Rabbi Akiva says, no, The point would be, you're going to be like the initiator. Sorry. Not yet. Okay, period. So the Rebbe Akiva learns out that attaching yourself to a mitzvah, if attaching yourself to Avera, you get the same consequence of the Ovrei Avera. Attaching yourself to a mitzvah, you get the same benefit as the Osei Mitzvah. Rashi brings down, last Rashi on the page, where does this idea come from that a mitzvah, attaching yourself to a mitzvah, is even of a greater benefit than attaching yourself to an Avera? So Rashi says, Shematzina mot mida tova meruba mi mida peronios. Mida tova is even stronger than mida peronios. Rashi writes, last Rashi on the page, be mida tova hu omer, notzer chesed le'alafim. When it comes to mida tova, Kadosh Baruch Hu goes 1,000 generations. So in other words, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, right, they're not that long ago, right? A couple hundred generations ago. Not a big deal. Literally, by the way, a couple hundred generations ago. That's it. So, and what they do, the consequence of their actions, go for, notes of chesel alafim, goes for thousands of generations. Bemida peronios uomer, meanwhile, when it comes to peronios uomer, al shalishim va'al ribayim. 3 generations, 4 generations, and that's it. So you see that mida tova is stronger than mida peronios. It's an interesting source that Rashi brings down for this idea. Fine, that's Rabbi Kiva. Back to the Mishnah. Umar, second to last line on the page. Umar shayim nimsa echem mechem karav apostle, edusan betela. Av shloshan nimsa mechem karav apostle, edusan betela. Okay, now we get to another consequence of putting 2 together with 3. Again, it's one question in the Mishnah that has many ramifications. Why does the Torah say 2 and 3? Let's start off like this. When you have 2, and one of them turns out to be no good, so you're left with 1. 1's nothing. 1's not a witness, right? 1 does not make a witness. So the same thing is true with 3. If you have a group of 3 and 1 turns into a karev or apostle, a relative or someone who's disqualified, it's no good. You throw out the entire edus, even though you can make the argument, well, what do you mean? You have 2 good witnesses, so that should be okay. Okay. But Lakula, right. Well, that's talking about the actual testimony. That's not talking about the number of witnesses.
Why did you say it's not good enough?
Huh?
Why did 2 of the 3 not good enough?
Because once they're 3, they're a group. They're a kat. And so now they function as as one entity. How do I know that it's true also for 100? Tamalam or Aidim? Fine. Amar Rabbi Yossi. This idea is true when it comes to Dina Nefashos. Rashi brings down the top Rashi on the page. Why? Because by Dina Nefashos, we have an agenda. We want to get the guy off the hook. Right? We are not bloodthirsty. We're not interested in executing. The Torah gives us a mandate that every time someone stands trial in a capital crime, really our agenda is we want to get him off the hook. So, if I have 3 witnesses and one of them turns out to be no good, so I don't scale ourselves back to 2, but rather we throw the whole thing out. It's an opportunity for us, the Tzilo Ha'eda. However, back to the Mishnah, top line of the page. But when it comes to Mamanos, fine, one of them is no good, so we'll go back to 2, and we'll scale ourselves down to 2. Back to 2. Rabbi Omer, Echad Dine Mamanos ve'echad Dine Nefashos. No, it's true by Mamanos, it's true by Nefashos. According to Rabbi, this is not a leniency for Nefashos, it is a flat rule. That when you have 3, they're treated like a group. When one of the 3 is no good, you throw the whole testimony out. The Amosai Bizman Shihisru Bahem. Ava Bizman Shalo Hisru Bahem. Maya Seshne Achim Shara Be'echesh Haragas Anefesh. Okay. Last point. Now this is really, it's really Sanhedrin point. Right? We're going to leave the world of Makos now, of Adam Zomimim, and we're going to talk about basic rules regarding testimony of witnesses. Who is a witness? Okay. And the answer is not somebody who sees a crime. Can't be. Can't possibly be. The Mishnah says because, let's say you have two brothers who see a murder. Okay? What are you going to say now? That we're going to have to, there's no way to put the murder to death? Meaning, let's imagine everything else is taken care of. Right? Warning, a warning was issued, and he accepted the warning, and you had everything going for you. It just happens to be that there were one of the observers, of the bystanders that were there, two of them happened to be brothers. So now what are you going to say? No good. What do you mean? We have a whole room full of people over here. Many witnesses are able to testify what they just saw. Yeah, but two of them are brothers. And you know the rule. Everyone's treated like a group. It's all one cot. And so therefore, we're just going to have to throw everything out. The Mishnah says that's just an absurd conclusion. Therefore, we're going to identify who's a witness. Says the Mishnah, if you didn't give a warning, right? Right, you're not going to be a witness. The Mishnah's position is that in order for it to be a witness, you have to be the one issuing a warning. Okay, we'll talk more about that later on this morning.
What if everybody in the room issued a warning?
Right, so if two brothers issued a warning, so then you have a problem. Right, then you won't be able to put the person to death. But just having two brothers there in the room, that by itself can't be that can't be a postal. That can't be a disqualifying point.
Becoming a witness is a voluntary thing that somebody comes forward and say, I'm a witness, or we go after them to find the witness. Like,
they have an obligation when they saw a crime, when they see a crime, they themselves have an obligation to go and to testify. They can't suppress the testimony. Suppressing the testimony is an avera. So, right?
And if in the room two witnesses go forward, can the rest just stay behind and not voluntarily go forward?
That's a good question. I don't know, but in general, that specifically I'm not sure, but in generality I could tell you that it's a prohibition in the Torah not to suppress testimony. If you know something, you have an obligation to go to court and to present the information in front of a court. Right, correct.
And the two went forward and said that, end
of Ayikra, yeah.
In the previous point about the Romanos, if it's a group of three, it's not hard to deny it. If you have a crime vessel, right, if you throw all of them out, right? Mm. So, how does it work with the Zoma? We had said that the Hashi is really cool.
Right.
But if you could knock off one guy, if three guys had said that I only one, and one guy is found possible,
right, and the other guys are, you know, fighting someone. Does that point to that opinion? Do you need to have
one of them become
able
to come in or you cannot run off? Right. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're saying.
Right? If a cot is not sort of a cot. You're right, you're asking a question, Rabbi Yossi?
Yeah.
I don't know, right. I don't know if Rav Yossi is going to contest the rule of Edom Zomimim. Meaning that even though you can whittle away one or two witnesses, as long as you have two remaining, hard to imagine that he disagrees with the Ashi Azim was Kulam.
The question is what's
Kulam?
Right.
I'm not sure. Okay. The Amarava. Okay, we're talking about a group of 100 witnesses, right? 100 witnesses. Rava says it's not just enough that they saw, but they testify, right? It's not just enough that they testify; they have to testify together in a court. Now they can't testify all at the same time. Right, that's not going to happen. They're going to testify one after another. They will be linked together as long as they testify tokede dibor of one another. First of all, how long is tokede dibor? So put a timer on your stopwatch. It's maybe 2 seconds. Maybe it's the time that it takes for a person to say Shalom Alechi Rebbe Umori. Okay, and even when I say it slowly, it's 2 seconds of time. It's nothing. It's a short amount of time. So the Gemara says, so how are you going to do that? How are you going to fit 100 testimonies together with in that span of Shamalacha Rabbi Mori? The Gemara asks this question. So Kadesh Alatama Larav, Me'atu Vahavu? The Gemara says, what do you mean? 100 is going to take you a lot longer than saying Shamalacha Rabbi. I feel that everyone here knew the answer that the Gemara was going to give. Not everybody saying the testimony in Toch Kedei Dibur. That's not how it's happening. It's that they're all going to be linked together. It's going to be sausaged together, one after another. Each one is going to follow the other Toch Kedei Dibur. Right? And I don't, if I may suggest, I don't think the Gemara means that one witness has to immediately dovetail on the other witness, meaning that they all have to be in the same proceeding, right? I mean, remember, especially in a court, right? Drisha v'chakira, right? They all stand and are going to testify one after another. So it's like one's going to be here, the others are not going to be here, and I don't know if they literally have to, you know, step in and follow Toch Kedei Dibur. It just has to be that the proceeding has to be a continuous flow, one after another. Okay, and that's how we link all them together. Rabbi Kiva Omer Lo Bashlishi, right? Umashnaim Amle Rapapala Abaye Lameata Harug Yatzil. So the Gemara says, now, according, we're not focusing on Rabbi Kiva right now. We're focusing on the last lines of the previous Amud. It says that when you have three people, if one of them turns out to be Karva Pasol, we're going to throw out the Edus. Okay. Rav Papa says to Abaye, let's work with this for just a moment. We say that if one of the witnesses to the crime is not disqualified from testifying, we throw everybody out. Right? It could be that that's Rabbi Akiva still talking, I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. Okay? That's the accepted view. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, so let's play with this a little bit. Elamiata Harug Yatzil. Okay. You know, we have a lot of people in this room now. So let's say that there's a crime committed in this room. Okay? We have two people in this room, Reuven killing Shimon. Now, we are all, right, right, we're all qualified to testify. You know who else is a witness right now?
Shimon.
The victim. Right? Now, he's got a small problem in that he's dead, and being dead certainly is going to be somewhat of an inhibition. He won't be able to testify. All right, I understand that. But still, okay, he's dead. But still,
he's there.
Huh?
But he's there. He's part of the cast.
Okay, but still, he was part of the group, right? He saw his own death. Okay, right? It's an interesting perspective, but he saw his own death. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, now, there's going to be an answer. And you know, this is what we would call in yeshiva, it's a klutz kasha. Right? You know, it's a question that can't really be a question. It's there to fine-tune our understanding of what's going on over here. But still, we're going to ask the question, we're going to go through the answer. Right? How come he's not part of the group? How come he doesn't disqualify everybody else from testifying? So, Elamiata Harug Yatzil. So now, by the way, all right, in the Gemara right now, why is it that he cannot testify aside from the fact that he's dead, right? Why is the Gemara assuming that he's disqualified? So Tosfos says Elamiata Harug Yatzil Perishu Baldin. Tosfos gives two unbelievable suggestions as to why he's disqualified from testifying. Number one, he's a Baldin, right? He's no Geba Dover. Number two, says Tosfos, he's a Sone, right? I would imagine, right? Right? Sone means that he hates him, right? We learned in the third parak of Sanhedrin that if you have not a family relationship with him, but if you have either a love or hate relationship with him, so you can't testify about him. Right? If you remember back in Sanhedrin, the third parak, we gave parameters of what it means that you hate him, what it means that you love him. Right? It's, you know, after putting together an invitation list, so you realize that you really ask yourself the question, right? Well, not on the side of hate, but you know, like who's somebody who you really, you know, who you really are fond of.
But that's true for all Edim Zomamim. They hate the guy. That's why I want to put him into.
No. By witnesses, we'll assume that there's a certain amount of impartiality. But over here, just Tosis is suggesting why it is that we assume the Harug is disqualified to testify. So again, let's go through this again. Amalei Rav Papa La'abaye, Elami Ata Harug, Harug Yatzel, Kisha Harug Me'acharav. So the Gemara says he didn't see it coming, right? He was killed from behind. So therefore, he wasn't a witness. Okay? Nirva Yatzel. Same thing by the Nirva. Right, Nirva as well, someone who's sodomized. So he certainly is a Baldin, he certainly is a Sone, right, you would think. So Kishanirva Meacharv again, he's not part of the group of witnesses because he was sodomized from the back.
The assumption is in these questions that the victim also gave a warning.
Okay, so.
Because the last Gemara just said that. They don't come with the Tokhi Dibur to the Bezdin. I mean, the dead guy's not coming in.
Right. To the right. And even the Nirva.
So why are we assuming that they're even part of the Ka'at?
Correct. So let's for the purpose of this exercise, let's assume they gave a warning. Okay? Let's.
Can we throw out the last Gemara that they have to come with the Tokhi Dibur and we assume that the Ka'at is warned?
Well, no. In other words, they're Ka'at. They're part of the Ka'at. And they're proven out to be disqualified for whatever reason, and that's it. So we're going to say goodbye to the rest of the other Edom.
Rava said the only way you become part of the Ka'at is who she either cool on the talk
that Dibor.
Dead guy.
The dead guy is not even there. Okay. Right. I don't know.
All victims are witnesses then.
So again, this is the Gemara's question. Wait, just 1 second. We're in a give and take. So let's finish this up. So Yatzel Kusharava Me'acharav Hori Veroveya Yatzilu. And again, these are more set up questions. They're not. These are just questions for thought, and the Gemara will give an answer. What about the perpetrator? Right? The perpetrator also should serve as a witness. He did witness the event. And because he witnessed the event, so now he should be part of the group. He should be part of the Ka'at. Now he can't testify, I guess because he's a Sone.
No, you're not against yourself.
You can't self-incrimination. Okay. Ishtik. Okay, so these are questions that Rav Papa asked to Abai. Abai did not know the answer to this question. And again, we all know that there's an answer to this question. We all understand it can't be that all of a sudden he's now part of the group of witnesses. And so now that we're throwing him out, we're throwing the other witnesses out as well. We know that, but what we don't know, what we have to do is articulate and formulate why it is. So Kiyasul Kamed Rava, so now they go to Rava, the Chavrus of Abaye, and Amalei Yakum Davar, B'mekayim O'davar Kasav Medaber. Yakum B'davar, the matter is to be established, B'mekayim O'davar. We're talking about people who can establish matters. What exactly does that mean? Let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi explains this a little bit more. Yakum davar, it's Rashi, it's 5 lines from the bottom on the right-hand column. K'siv b'haikra, sha'asa l'kulam, kishnaim d'ahaynu ha'edim, avalo b'osei davar. We're going to make a distinction, says Rashi, between the one who's establishing and the one who's doing. Right? The osei davar, the perpetrator, and I guess we'll include in that the perpetrated, right? The people who are involved, they're by definition not witnesses. Because they're not yakum davar. They're not the ones establishing that this is what happened. They're the participants in the act. They're the osei davar. They're not part of the whole witness, the group of witnesses. The only people who are part of the group of witnesses are yakum davar, who are going to take what happened over here, go to court, and establish that this is what happened in court. Okay? To put it really easy and really simple, it's just a simple fact that witnesses are there testifying to what happened. If you're part of what happened, you're not part of the witnesses.
It's just versus spectator.
Right, right. Correct. Correct. I'm Rabbi Yosef ben Medvar, Mamorim Mayasu Shnei Achim. Hechi Amrin Elohu. The Gemara has the question over here, Hechi Amrin Elohu. How do you issue a warning? Now, Tosos writes over here, see the third to last Tosos on the page? This question over here, how do you issue a warning, is talking about Dine Mamonos. Look at the Tosos. Kaya Dine Mamonos, we're talking about Dine Mamonos. Bishlam Adine Nefashos Lokasha, Hechi Amrin Denechzi Anan, Im Hisru Boa Karav Apostle, Im Lav. When it comes to Dine Nefashos, we know who's a witness because we know who's issuing a warning. Remember, by Dine Nefashos, you don't put him to trial unless he receives a warning, right? So, but by Dine Mamonos, you don't have a sra, right? Dine Mamonos, there's no crime by Dine Mamonos. That's not true. And there could be a crime, but it doesn't have to be. Right? By Dine Mamonos, what's going on over here? I lend you money. Right, that's not a crime, that's a mitzvah. So by Dina Mamonos, there's no idea of Hasra'a. So by Dina Nefashos, the selection of witnesses is self-evident, because the witnesses themselves have to be the ones issuing a warning. So already by the warning, I know who is and who isn't the witness. That's good. What the Gemara is asking over here is, by Dina Mamonos, where there's no crime and therefore there's no need to issue a warning, how do I know what's the selection process of the witnesses? Hey, chamin and lohu. I'm a rava. Ha, chamin and lohu. Lamech se asisu. O le saadu se asisu. So it's very simple. Now that we have a room full of people, and we now want to know, right? It's a loan, right? A simple loan. Are you here to testify, or are you here just as a spectator? What's your purpose over here? I amin la su de asu nimsa chamem karva pasu do some patela. I amin lamech se asu. Edusan miskayemes. So good. So just simply ask them, what's the purpose of you're here as a spectator or as a witness? Mayas shnei achim sharal beecha sharagas nefesh itmar. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmo halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. V'Rav Nachman Amar halacha k'Rebbe. Amachlokes amorayim. Which of the Tanaim we follow? Meaning, in the Mishnah, on the top of the Amud, you see the opinion of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says this idea that if we knock out one, we knock out everybody. Let's say there's 100 witnesses. Knocking out one, knocking out everybody. So Rav Yossi says that's true by Dina Nefashos. It's not true by Dina Mamonos. Rebbe says it's true across the board, both for Dina Nefashos and for Dina Mamonos. Machlokas Amorayim. Which of the Tanaim we paskin like? The Rambam goes like the position of Rebbe, not the position of Rebbe Yossi. So that means that across the board, if you have a group of witnesses and they establish themselves as witnesses, so once one is knocked out, they're all knocked out. Okay.
With the question of the wedding, right?
The wedding discussion. You'll see the difference of opinions. Right. You go to one wedding, and sometimes the Rav will say these two is the exclusion of everybody else. Right? Other Rabbanim, other Masad Kedushin, you don't see them doing that. It's different over there by wedding, because those are Eidus. Those are Kiyum Davar. Right, those are not for beer. Those are not for purposes of clarification. We know what's going on. We all know what's going on. That's an aedus of kiyum. It's a different type of witness. Okay. Yeah. Right. It seems you're right. I'm following you. I'm following you. If we've already established that they're a group at the time of the event, so why then? Right. Tov Kedei Dibur is already when they're coming into court, and it would seem to be, if I understand your question correctly, it seems to be that at that point in time we already know who's in the group and who's out of the group. Right. Mishnah on top of Avam and Beis. Hayu shnei meronos osa mechalon zeh, v'shnei meronos osa mechalon zeh. V'echad masra bo be'emtza. Okay. different perspectives of a crime. One sees it from this window, one sees it from that window, and there's one, and there's someone in the middle giving the hasra, giving the warning. Okay, the combination of witnesses. If one group sees the other group, so even though they're looking at a crime and they're looking from different windows, as long as the witnesses see one another, and the Mishnah makes it even a bigger chiddush, you don't need all the witnesses in this group to see all the witnesses in that group. As long as some of the witnesses over here in this group see some of the witnesses in the other group, they all now combine, they unify, and now all of them become one group of Eidus. And Rashi brings it all back to Hazama. It all comes back to Hazama. Mm-hmm. Now that means that from this point forward, when are they going to become Eidim Zomimim? Only when all of them, both windows and both spectators from both windows, are proven to be Eidim Zomimim. Okay? But if only one of the window watchers were proven to be Eidim Zomimim, and the two window watchers can see one another, they not only have vantage of the crime, but they have vantage of one another, we're not going to say that they're Eidim Zomimim, because they are now considered one unified group. Lefichach, therefore, in Nitzes Achamim Zomemes, Hu Vehi Ne'eragin. If, however, the two window watchers are, by the way, in both windows you have more than one person. Right? In each window you have, let's say two, at least two, but let's say two. Right? Let's say they don't see one another. So in other words, now you have a crime, right? Committed in the courtyard. You have two groups of witnesses seeing it from two windows, two different windows. They don't see each other. So now, let's imagine one of the two groups of witnesses are proven to be Eidim Zomimim. So now you're going to have the most bizarre thing occur. What an unbelievable conclusion. The crime was committed. The two witnesses who are not proven to be Eidim Zomimim can serve as valid witnesses to the crime. And the witnesses who are proven to be Eidim Zomimim, they're put to death. Because they're Eidim Zomimim. What do you mean? Machi Zomimim Kulam? You need all the witnesses to be proven to be Eidim Zomimim, because they do not see each other, because they're coming from two different vantage points. So their testimonies are separated. So you're going to have the execution of the perpetrator, and you'll have the execution of the two witnesses.
How could they be Eidim Zomimim if they actually saw it?
They say they saw it.
They weren't present at the window then.
But the second sense.
Huh?
They weren't present at the window.
This is their claim. Their claim is they saw it. Well, how come you didn't see the other window? Well, they saw it from another window. We didn't see them. Yeah. So lefichach imim says acham em zomemes who vehein neragin. So it's going to come out one of the more bizarre conclusions, but a correct one. The perpetrator is going to be put to death, and the Eidim Zomimim member are going to be put to death. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lolamei Neragim Ashu Shnei Edev Masrim Bo. Rabbi Yossi says no, right? Rabbi Yossi, the same Rabbi Yossi of the previous Mishnah, no, because witnesses are only those people who give the hasra. How do I know that? The Torah says it's based on the two witnesses. Davar Acher, Apishnaim Edim, Shalotei Sanhedrin, Shamas Mi Piyav Meturgaman. And another halacha, two witnesses have to hear, sorry, the Beis Din has to hear it directly from the witnesses. Apishnaim Edim, it has to come from the mouth. Okay, let's just do a little bit of Gemara. And we'll continue tomorrow. Amar Rav Zucha Bar Tovia, Amar Rav Minayin, Le'edus Miyuchados, Shipsula, separated Edim, right, are disqualified. Shenemar Lo Yumas Api Eid Echad, Mai Echad, Ilei Mai Eid Echad Mamish. What are we talking about? We're talking about one witness we already know. Mirei Sheshamin Allah, Pishnaim Edim. The Torah already says two witnesses. Ela Mai Echad, Echad, Echad. It means that the two witnesses are seeing it from two different vantage points. That's no good. That's no good. That's an incomplete testimony. They have to see it from either the same exact vantage point, or at least they have to see one another. Tanya Amihachi, Bryce as well. Lo yumas api eid echad la avishnaim sharon also echa michalon ze vein roin ze et ze she ein mitstarfin. They do not combine. Velo od alifilu bezeh achar zeh. B'chalon echad ein mitstarfin, even one after another. That's also no good. Now wait a second. I'm a little rabbi. Abay hashto ma echad. Ma echad mechalon zeh ve'echad mechalon zeh. The high kai chazi kula. Ma'ase the high kai chazi kula ma'ase. Amat lo mitstarfi b'zeh chazeh. The high chazi pag the ma'ase. The high chazi pag the ma'ase mi baye. The Gemara says, wait a second. I don't understand. If they're looking at the same window but not at the same time, that's for sure no good. They're not looking at the same crime. Each one of them is only seeing half a crime. Right? The hole in the window is only big enough so that one person can see at one time. Neither witness is seeing the entire crime. Of course that's no good. Why would I even entertain that that would be acceptable? So the Gemara says, no, there's a type of crime that you don't need to see the whole crime. Only if you see a snapshot of the crime, that's enough. Right? The Gemara gives an example of arayos. Right, illicit relations. So if a man and woman are having an illicit affair, an illicit relationship, so you don't need to see the entire crime. One snapshot of the crime would be sufficient. So now it's a chiddush, now it's a big chiddush. If I have one witness seeing one moment of the arayos, another witness seeing another moment of the arayos, and now I would have thought that that should be able to combine, that's a chiddush. They cannot combine because they need to see the same snapshot of that crime.
Somebody's
got to
hear the scream of the warning.
The warning we'll talk more about tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop over here. Pick it up tomorrow.